Some of you may recognize this image, which appears in the bulletin. Having turned 50 this year, I am now of an age where I can say things like, they don't make movies like this anymore. I included this picture of Moses holding the tablets of the Ten Commandments because it reflects a deeply held iconography in our culture. Everybody knows, do they not, what the Ten Commandments look like. They're on two tablets, and they're often envisioned to have rounded tops. One of the things that impressed me about this picture was it was a reminder of just all of the care and attention Cecil B. DeMille put into making this movie. If you look at the tablets, you will notice those odd symbols. That is Proto-Hebrew. He was trying to make them look authentic. Now, the truth of the matter is that nobody knows what the tablets of the law looked like. And while we have scriptural witness as to how they were passed down to the people, we don't in fact know what happened historically. But we do know that the Ten Commandments are real, that they are true. Indeed, they are so central to the life of the people of Israel that they have shaped the common life of the Jews for 3,500 years and that of the Christian church for 2,000 years. These rules are fundamental to who we are. They're the building blocks of our civilization. Now, truth be told, I cannot do justice to the Ten Commandments during one sermon, let alone in an abbreviated Communion Sunday homily. But here's what I propose to do today. I'd like to share the 30,000-foot view with you of why the Ten Commandments are important. And then later in this preaching year, we are going to return to the commandments, and we are going to spend a few weeks with them, dig down, examine them in depth to understand what they mean for us today. Now, to start, if you're listening to Nan carefully, you may have noticed a certain pattern. There are a lot of do nots in the commandments. Do not do this. Do not do that. Do not have any other gods before me. Do not make any idols. Do not take God's name in vain. Do not kill. Do not commit adultery. Do not steal. Do not bear false witness. Do not covet your neighbor's stuff. Just two that have a more positive cast. Keep the Sabbath holy and honor your parents. Despite the seemingly negative tenor, the prescriptive quality, I would like to argue that these commandments are actually positive in intent and motive and shape and dynamic. They are meant to create a framework in which God's people can live lives that are full and holy, that enable them to reach the potential that He intends for each of His created children. Recall that the people of Israel always remembered that they had been slaves and that God had liberated them and delivered them into freedom. Scripture recognizes that the opposite of slavery is not necessarily freedom, though. It can be anarchy, chaos, licentiousness, aimlessness. There's a recognition here that these newly liberated people need a framework, a context in which to live their lives. Anybody who has ever had any experience with children knows that they flourish when they are given some boundaries. If they know where the edges are, yes, they may push against them. But if they know where the edges are, they know within there is a safe space for them to be who they are. That is true also of peoples and faith communities. So God offers these rules, these guideposts, so his people can move forward. I'll note that nowhere in Scripture are these actually referred to as commandments. In the Hebrew, they are the 10 words. You may recognize the familiar phrase Decalogue. That means 10 words. And they are part of a larger corpus of laws. There are 613 of them in the Old Testament. But these 10 stand apart. They stand apart because they are foundational. I believe what these foundational laws have in common is the building of a relationship. If you listen to those first three, they are about the relationship between God and God's people. And they talk about how the people are to relate to God, to take him seriously, to not stray to others, to not demean God's name. His commandments suggest God is important. And there's an implied corollary that the God who takes the time to free slaves and then give them these rules, this framework, believes they too are important. The other 7 commandments are about the relationships that exist between people, whether in intimate units like the family or in larger settings like a society. All of these commandments are about relationship, including the one about Sabbath. In our individualistic society, we might think about Sabbath is when I take some time off to rest, but it's not. If you listen to the scripture, Sabbath is for everyone in the family and for the slaves and the animals. Everyone is supposed to rest. I cannot truly engage in Sabbath if someone else has to work to make that possible. So we are called in relationship to enable all to participate in this sacred holy day. So here we have these rules, this rubric for full and holy living. And it's this dynamic of relationship that makes this an appropriate lectionary text on this World Communion Sunday. Because this is a day when Christians around the world set aside their denominational loyalties, their national identities, and instead try to focus on something that unites us all. And that is the gift of Holy Communion, which we will celebrate in churches around the world. We will come together here as the congregation of the First Congregational Church of Lebanon, but also as part of a wider congregation. And we'll be in relationship with God and with one another. Our society, it has been noted, often treats the Ten Commandments as if it would be better if they were 10 suggestions. And rather than having a comprehensive list of 10, they could be an a la carte menu. We could pick and choose the ones we find congenial. We could lift up the ones that we would never, ever imagine engaging in, but they're not meant to be seen that way. Nor are they meant to be seen as some kind of downer, some kind of rainstorm on life's picnic. They are meant to affirm and to empower and to enable us to live fully as God's children. You may be aware that the Ten Commandments appear twice in the Old Testament, in Exodus 20 and Deuteronomy 5. And if you read the two versions, you will see there are discrepancies in details. So in this spirit of recognizing the importance of these words, but noting that sometimes there can be adjustments or amendments to allow us to more fully enter into the lesson. I'd like to share a paraphrase with you that was written by Elton Trueblood. Above all else, love God alone. Bow down to neither wood nor stone. God's name refuse to take in vain. The Sabbath rest with care maintain. Respect your parents all your days. Hold sacred human life always. Be loyal to your chosen mate. Steal nothing, neither small nor great. Report with truth your neighbor's deed. And rid your mind of selfish greed. We have here a positive call into a path for living, a way of life. I invite people to meditate on this, to think about this. Because while the Ten Commandments may not have been carved in stone, they are, I believe, words that ought to be carved in our hearts, in our minds, and our souls.